3, 2, 1, action.
Maxi.
You know that radio stations have offered me money. I told you, today I'm giving you a big present. Yeah. Over the last 10 years, radio stations and bloggers have offered me money to come and tell me this story. Yeah. And I have never opened up about it because I was in a relationship with somebody else and I didn't want to disrespect her name.
I'm from a beautiful place, the Pearl of Africa. Hailing with a 256, it's in my blood. That's a gem where the mountains rise. With stories untold, the tapestry of cultures unfolding so vibrant and bold. A symphony of stars, a celestial light. The drums beating, echoing through the night. Just like a beacon of light, a reflection that's coming up from the Nile. I'm flowing straight into the heart of Africa with timeless stories untold.
Maxi, welcome to my podcast, brother.
Thanks for having me. You know, up to half an hour ago, I didn't know you were in America. But I'm happy we're doing this experience.
I keep that a secret, but this is something I've started doing. Like, we do this podcast from Uganda in America, and at the end of the day, people on YouTube will never know that we were in different...
No, but it's fun that you're representing Uganda across the world, you know? I've traveled a lot. And I've always met Ugandans everywhere we go. It's always fun to meet the people that have the online radios, the podcasts, the magazines, the people that organize the shows. You know, the Ugandans that live outside of Uganda representing Uganda. I can never get enough of those people. I would want to meet all of them across the world. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, my brother. And I've seen you. I think whoever doesn't know you in Uganda maybe just moved in Uganda yesterday.
It depends which industry you work in, of course. But yeah, I get fairly recognized. That's for sure. I mean, I'm happy. I have a fan base. They've kept me going. They've kept me up. That's what we do it for. But yeah, it really depends on which industry you work. But if you have anything to do with entertainment, music, and the fun people, you know, the party goers, then for sure you need to know my name.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today, entertainment, because you're the entertainment manager and a talent scout. People who see you on IG, you see the work you do, everything you do. We're going to talk about the Wednesday night that you do. But before we get into that, I wanted to send my condolences and say your loss about your brother. I saw that on Instagram, man.
Yeah, about the...
Send my condolences.
How long has it been now? It was actually the night before my mother's birthday, which is very sad. She suffered a lot from that news in the morning. She was expecting a happy birthday brunch, and she received the news that, okay, it was not my direct brother, not the same mother, but we were the only two boys who spoke the language I speak from back home in Belgium. So we had a close bond growing up. We were able to communicate. We were able to share thoughts and the family time with each other's families in our language, which I think is important to as much as Ugandan I am, it is important to keep your heritage alive. And since my brother died, I feel like that piece has been taken away from me because there is nobody that I can have that connection with when it comes on those topics. So his death is very tragic. And to many people, by the way, he was a very good guy. A lot of people know him from Entebbe. As a matter of fact, I don't think Entebbe will ever be the same as a city because Yoti was a strong guy. So yeah, definitely rest in peace, my brother.
Yeah, man. I wanted to put that out first.
I appreciate that. Thanks for doing your research a bit because that's something that... That's a very sensitive topic.
You talked about something, how Ugandan you are. When did you move to Uganda the very first time and how did you end up in Uganda?
You're asking me for my origin story. Well, I was born in 1994. No, we won't go back that far. But at least I came to Uganda at the age of, was it 11, 12-ish there. My father is very well, very well connected in Africa, and he's always very close to the Congolese community. So we always had our roots in Africa. We always had uncles and aunties and stories and you know, Africa was always close to us as a family. But by the time my parents decided to actually make that move, we are moving to Africa. I remember the day they told me and my sister, we are going to Africa. We couldn't believe it. As a matter of fact, everybody we knew, of course, those people I don't know anymore. I've left that life behind. But the people that I knew back then, yeah. I remember when they heard, oh, we are moving to Africa. There was a lot of confusion around that. Like, what are you going to do there? Do they even have running water? You know, those comments, people look at Africa in a different way out there. Of course, I've experienced a completely different Africa. We'll talk about that later as well. But by the time my parents decided to move here, it was a very big shock. And of course, arriving here was a very big shock. It was nothing we expected. Yeah. I'm talking about close to 20 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah. Uganda has changed a lot for the better. Our infrastructure has improved. Our education system, healthcare system, our social media, everything as a society and as a country, we are striving. I can see that. I've witnessed it. Our roads are improving. Mm-hmm. Our airports are improving. Mm-hmm. So we are steady. We are climbing, mm-hmm. and I'm proud to have witnessed that. Yeah. To be honest, but back then there was a different Uganda when I first arrived. So it was not easy for a young Muzungu boy to move to Africa. And it is even harder for a young Muzungu boy to stay all this time.
So the reason why I wanted to pull it back, and we're going to connect this to entertainment, because I wanted to know how long you've been in Uganda. So it's been over 20 years.
Yeah,
I wanted you to explain to me the life of entertainment during COVID. During COVID, how was our life like with entertainment in Uganda in COVID time?
Because
I know people still partied.
Of course we did.
How they went to parties.
When we heard those speeches of the Minister of Health, and no disrespect to Ugandan government, I love all of you. But when, and I have very close friends in the ministries. When they said, people of Uganda, we have stopped partying. We told them, who told you? Who told you we stopped partying? It has even become better. No, during COVID, listen, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
It kind of woke everybody up. It kind of cooled everybody down a bit. When it came to mindset in life, you know, all of a sudden people had more time to focus on future plans. What are we going to do when this is over? How are we going to recover from this? So people had a bit of a setback. And time for them to reflect, which was good. That's a positive side of COVID, I think. Of course, the negative side of COVID was the social distancing and not having the chance to see your friends every day and do the things you like. Mm-hmm. But for the people that really enjoyed going out, the people that represent party in Kampala, they never stopped one day. We found ways around it. I remember when Museveni announced, when you are staying in a hotel or a resort, you are allowed to do what? Use the facilities. The facilities is a swimming pool, the gyms, the conference rooms that the hotels have. So if you are staying in a hotel, you are allowed to use the facilities. That was like a new law, like a change of rules at some point. And we thought in ourselves, wow. Let's start renting hotels. So we went to hotels of like 20 rooms, 30 rooms, 50 rooms, whichever ones we could find. We would book all the rooms and then sell those rooms to our best customers who would normally come and book tables. Now they would just book hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. And by the time the police came to check, hey, what is this noise? So sorry, but all of us, we have what? Room keys. We are guests. So we are allowed to sit at the swimming pool and have a party. So like I said, we found ways to around it, but of course we always kept to the rules. You know, we are good boys.
That is funny because that reminds me of the song "No Man Can Stop Reggae."
No reggae, one can stop reggae.
It's gonna leave. It's like,
you said, no one can stop reggae. It's UB40 song. They were here last week. It was a very, very good show.
I was gonna ask you about that. Yeah, I saw your post on UB40. I love their music. I play UB40 in my car. I have the whole album. I listen to UB40 on the road trips. That's a favorite. Yeah,
I took my mom to the UB40 show because she told me I was conceived on UB40 music. and also that when she was 17 years old, she bought tickets for a UB40 show back in Belgium, but because her report card, she failed mathematics or something like that. And her parents told her, you're not allowed to go to the show. You are under house arrest. And she still remembers that day very well. She told me, Max, I've never seen those guys live. I love their music. She loves reggae. Mm-hmm. And you were conceived on that on UB40 mm-hmm. music. I have to go for this show. It will be the first time I see them live. I told her, Mommy, tonight we go all the way. We went for nice dinner. We went for the show. Yeah. She had a blast. We were drinking red wine, singing red wine. She had a blast.
Red wine. Yes,
she
sir.
Had a blast. So that was a beautiful experience. Yeah.
That was really good. I wish I was in Uganda to go for that show. I love
it. And then
I
don't know if you're coming for Davido, if you're going to be around, but if you're not, you're going to miss out for sure.
I know. I saw the video March 20. Is it 29?
Yeah, it's 29.
Maxi, tell us about Muzungu. You mentioned a Muzungu coming to Africa. How has that been like for you coming to Africa as a Muzungu?
I called myself a young Muzungu boy when I arrived in Uganda, because before I arrived in Uganda, yes, I was a Muzungu. But I also believe that the term Muzungu, it is not a skin color. You know, you can look at me and you can say, okay, blue eyes, white hair, white skin. Oh, this is a Muzungu. He comes from Europe. He was born in Amsterdam. He's Belgian. That's a Muzungu. But I disagree. I think Muzungu is not a skin color. It is a mentality. It is a way of life. It is the way you eat, the way you communicate with your fellow Africans, the way you do business, even the way you, you know. you can be a Muzungu as a mentality, but you can be white in color. And there are more like me who have been in Africa long enough, who have integrated, who have respected the laws and the traditions of these grounds, who have bear children here. I have a lot of kids in Africa. All my kids are African. Yeah, and they're spread out over the continent. So but out of respect, I learn your traditions. I be humble. When elders talk, we keep quiet. A Muzungu, they just jump around. They're too busy. They're talking here. They're talking there. Then they run here. Then they run there. They're always promising a lot of money with big ideas. But to be honest, the lifespan of a Muzungu in Africa is about 3 to 4 years. They first come, they explore, then they fall in love with a boy or a girl here. Then they'll come back after a few months to maybe try to open like a small shop or work for an international school or apply for a job at an embassy. But after 3 years, they can't survive because they're too busy. They're too busy with their own ideas. Yet Africans have their way of life and their way of doing business. And they cannot accept that. They're scared by it, or they get played by it. And then they give up and they go back to their country. So the ones that have exceeded 10 years, those ones I can share a beer. We can talk a bit. But if you are a Muzungu, a tourist who has been in Africa for 1 or 2 years, or even 3 years, please, don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah? That is funny. Because I was going to ask you, like, how have you managed to stay in Uganda for over 20 years, you know, like people talk about how you mentioned about like before you moved there, you say the water is bad. People are going to say there's no this, a third world country. But like, how have you managed yourself to stay there for 20 years? And I definitely understand when you say if a Muzungu has not stayed there for more than 10 years, that has nothing to tell you.
There's nothing much they know. They haven't bought land. They haven't started companies. They haven't paid employees. They haven't paid taxes. As a matter of fact, half of these white boys out here, they are here on tourist visas. When you are a tourist, you are supposed to go with a travel agency. They take you in those matatus to the park.
Safari.
You look at a lion, you take a selfie with a zebra, then back to the airport. Yet these boys are here in our city. First of all, they're taking away our woman. Second of all, they get in trouble, you know. And third of all, they're having business meetings. You know, they're trying to settle here or open a business here, but they're still on a tourist visa. Mm-hmm. They should apply for a business license or a work permit. or at least open a company and pay taxes to the Republic of Uganda. Half of them are here just walking around having fun. Let them also start paying taxes. We pay our taxes. We pay NSSF. Huh? Now, what about them? They're just here having fun. They're just having fun.
Just come here and then...
And then they go. Then they go to Thailand. They go there. They all those happy places. But for us, we are here working hard.
You've really attacked. So anyway, you've talked about like starting businesses and doing stuff in Uganda. Can you tell us about the Kubo sneakers? Like you.
I mean, I'm invested in a lot of projects, of course. But you asked me, how come I've survived so long in Uganda for 20 years?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm very lucky that my parents are also here. You know, if you can see your mother or you can see your father at least once or twice a month, or you can go and visit them, you can have meals with them, you can ask for advice, you can give them a hug. You know, I think it is important. So the fact that for the last 20 years, my parents have been here, we have struggled together, we have made mistakes together, we have learned together, it is an advantage I had. To also remain here. But the second reason I am still here in Uganda is because I am invested in this country. I have over 7 companies, from production to fashion to farming to agriculture. That's the same thing. Farming and agriculture. but the point I'm making is we have a lot of employees, we pay taxes, we are invested. I own land, you know. I have children. I need to remain here. It is important I remain here. But what is also important for me is every project I start is something I need to be, I need to love it. I need to be interested. I need to be interested in the project to invest. So I will never invest in cryptocurrency or I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I don't like it. It looks boring. Looks nerdy, so I'm not going to invest in those things. But the moment you give me an idea, Max, let's do this, let's do that. And if the idea is good and the idea is smart, let's do it. So you asked about Kubo, the sneaker shop. Of course, I love sneakers. Mm-hmm. None of your cameras is pointing at my shoes, by the way. How come? I'm wearing very expensive shoes. Okay. So Kubo is my sneaker shop. It is at UK Mall in Kansanga on the first floor. It's been open for 3 years now, and it's something. You see now he's pointing at my shoes. Yeah, nice shoes. Yeah. So for the last 3 years, I haven't paid for my clothes or my shoes. It makes sense financially. It makes sense for me. If I'm a swagger boy, I'm a fashion boy. We run these streets of Kampala. We need to look good, man. We need to wear fresh sneakers every week, you know? So I thought, why not invest in a sneaker shop so it can feed my sneaker addiction? And at the same time, we make some money together. So shout out to my people at Kubo.
Yeah.
The management, Salam. If it wasn't for those people, that shop would have closed a long time ago. They kept it alive. But right now we can say that we are in the top 5 sneaker distributors of Uganda. We have customers in Juba. We have customers in Kigali. As a matter of fact, we make sure that people look good in East Africa. I'm not saying I expect a thank you.
Yeah.
But you guys are welcome for having the opportunity. And people sometimes say, but those shoes, are they from China? You think the shoes in Nike shops don't come from China? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Of course, these ones come from China also. We went to China. We bring the shoes for you. Are they original? Yes. Are they triple A's? Yes. But you are welcome for giving you the opportunity to wear shoes like this in East Africa. We have to respect the people that push fashion.
I think the mentality of Ugandans when they think about China, you know, they think about the Chinese phone, like a phone Yam China, you know, the bad product that come from China.
True.
But you can see even people with an iPhone, check on your iPhone, it will say... It has China on the back of it and assembled in California.
Designed in California and assembled in China, which is the same as made in China.
In China. So even when the shoes are coming from China, doesn't mean they're bad shoes. Just that's a mentality of what Ugandans have about China right now.
But at least they are here.
On top of that, Nomad's Bar and Grill. Talk about that. I see you, Nomad Bar and Grill. You talk about that on Instagram a lot, and you have events there.
Yeah, about 12 years ago, I was 18 years old. I was looking for work. I just finished school. I went to school in Uganda. I went to university in Uganda. But now I was 18. I was fresh.
Oh, what? When you, what? So hold up. What schools did you go to?
So I went to, my parents sent me to that very, very spoiled school, by the way. I'm proud. Of course, everybody's proud of their high school or their secondary. Because, you know, that's where you become a man. That's where you fall in love the first time. You have your first kiss. You lose your virginity, maybe. So those are memorable years. So you have to respect that school. Even the teachers that were there helping you growing up and becoming smarter. So I have all the respect for that school, but it was a spoiled school. My God. I went to Lincoln, ISU, International School of Uganda. They're in Lubowa. They used to be in Kampala with Lincoln. Then they changed. ISU Leopards. Mm-hmm. That's where we were. But it was a spoiled school full of all those rich ambassador kids, UN kids, minister kids, those rich lawyers in Kampala. It was too expensive. When I found out how much my father was paying for international school, I told him, Papa, you could have sent me to a local school. At least I would have learned Luganda fluently. Now I'm here stuck with 50-50. And I went to a very spoiled school, but I respect my father, how he handled that. It was a good education. Yeah. I have a lot of connections from there. I went to school with all those rich Indian kids, Kampala kids, the top of the top. So my connections, I have to admit, I'm very happy that I went to that school, but I was spoiled. And then I went to Nkumba University for a bit. But I've never been a study guy. I've been a working guy. I always wanted to work. So by the time I was 18 and I was looking for a job. I worked in some restaurants as a restaurant manager, bar manager. I was training the staff, things like that. At Serena Hotel, many places, by the way. I've worked in many places. I've always been a hard worker. But it was never working out for me. And one day I told my father, Papa, Kampala, it's not working out for me. It's very tough. I can't find a job that pays enough of money. Nobody wants to pay for my work permit. Those things are expensive. For Muzungus to work in Africa, they have to pay like, is it $2,000 a year? I don't even know. Me, I'm a citizen now. But $2,000 a year, that's a lot of money for anybody, a company or an employee. So I told my father, please book for me a ticket. I go back to Europe and I will try to find work over there. And he gave me the money. And then I was on my way to Kampala when a friend called me. No, come to this place. I want to have a beer with you. We talk. And while I was there, my friend JB Razor, I don't know if you know JB Razor, but if you don't know JB Razor, you don't know Kampala. He works for Chameleon. So JB Razor was there with me and Chameleon walks in that bar. Chameleon looks at me. He recognized me because my parents were best friends with his first wife. You know that song? Dorothea, Dorothea, Dorothea Kwangala. So Dorothea is like my auntie. So Chameleon is like my moko. He was my in-law. You know, I understand. So Chameleon sees me, says, Max, why don't you come and work with me? Why don't you come and follow me? There is a lot to learn in Kampala. There's a lot of wisdom I can give you. So I said, is this the God gift? Should I stay in Kampala? Should I work with Chameleon and follow him and learn from him? Or should I go back to Europe? And it was a very difficult decision for me. And I asked my father, Papa, is it okay if I go and work with Chameleon? He told me, is that really what you want? Don't you want to go and work in hotels or restaurants in Europe? You're European. We are the best in restaurants. I said, yes, I love cooking. I love bars. I love drinking. I love entertainment, the whole package. But I thought to myself, who is going to teach me better than the legend himself, the person who invented entertainment in this city, the one who really understands everything about his industry? So I told my father, yes, I want to work for Chameleon. Please allow me. He told me, okay, fine. I'll give you 3 months. You can go work with Chameleon. You run around town. You go places. In 3 months, if I don't see you've improved in any kind of skill or wisdom, I'm sending you to Europe. So after 3 months, Chameleon had taken me to over 30 cities and 2 countries.
Wow.
And I told my father, now, is this enough proof for you to allow me to stay in Uganda? And I continue working in this entertainment industry. It is an industry I appreciate. The cameras, the lights, the sound, the music, the studios, the dancers, the instruments, the editors, everything about it is just, it's sexy. There is something that's sexy about people that create. And my father saw the passion in me and said, okay, fine, you go work for Chameleon. And it was the best decision I made in my life. And it was I've been with him for over 12 years with Leon Island. Of course, at some point I had to ask him, and I thought he was going to be mad at me. But I asked Chameleon at some point, I told him, Jose, I've been with you now for was it 7 or 8 years? Full time. I even stayed with him in Sagoku for almost a year. So we were close, very close. And we are still very, very close, by the way. We talk almost every day.
I see his pictures all the time with you on Instagram. Yeah.
We are brothers, honestly. I even call him my African father. And everybody in Kampala knows, hey, that Wasaja wa Kamili, that Muzungu. He's not easy. I was raised by my anjas. Yeah. Be careful. So at some point I had to tell him, Jose, it's been an amazing experience with you all this time. And you've taken me, I think we've been over 200 cities together, all over the world. So it's been amazing. The man I am today is the man that Joseph Mayanja has shaped. He used to kick me under the table and say, keep quiet. Don't talk. Listen and learn. You know? There were times I was being that jumpy Muzungu. He would cool me down. Gwe, sit down. Keep quiet. Where's the car key? Did you bring my shoes? People used to call me his backup dancer. Hey, you're Chameleon's backup dancer. I don't... If they want to abuse me, it's fine.
Yeah.
I've learned... Chameleon doesn't pay you. I'll be honest. Did he pay us a lot of money? No, but he took care of us. We were always wearing nice clothes. Mm-hmm. We were going to the best places, the best restaurants, the best hotels. We were getting the best food, all the alcohol for free. Everything we wanted was organized for us.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we had a mentor. We had a teacher, the wisest and the biggest in Kampala. So he paid me in wisdom. He paid me with experience. Right now, I can walk into any building in Kampala. You want me to go to MTN? You want me to go to Coca-Cola? You want me to go to Nile Breweries? I can enter that building and people say, hey, Chizito, where's Jose? How is Chameleon? Hey, you are here. You are here for a meeting. Okay, let me get you water. Anywhere in Kampala, because of the reputation Chameleon has given me. Mm-hmm. So by the time I asked him, Jose, I'm growing up now. I want to do my own thing. Is it okay if I take some distance from you instead of being with you every day? Going to Masaka, going to Jinja, going to... He's a very busy guy. But let me at least come with you for those international shows. We go to Nairobi, we go to Brussels, we go to... You know, wherever we travel, we can travel together. But then, I also focus on my own things. And he told me, my brother, please, go out in the world and show them what is Leon Island about. Show them how powerful we are. And don't forget to use my name. I thought he was going to be disappointed in me that I was going to leave Leon Island and focus on my own things. Yet he was proud of me and he was happy that he was able to teach me a lot of things over those years. And now he sent me out in the world with the permission to use his name. Tell him, you make sure people know where you came from. And whatever you do in life, be proud of that. And of course, I will wear Leon Island on my sleeve for life.
A lot of people wouldn't want to open up about that and like give credit where it's due of somebody who has helped you through life. But I like to hear when you give credit back, like, hey, this guy helped me to build who I am today. A lot of people won't do that. When you get somebody down.
And not only me, half of this industry can thank Dr. Jose Chameleon for his contribution towards their reputation. Anybody, if you have used him in a photo shoot, or he has come to represent on your album release, or he does a feature on your song, or he just showed up to look at your art. In any way possible, Jose Chameleon has raised at least 80% of Ugandan industry, music industry, entertainment industry.
That is true, and I think I agree with that too. I'm not in Uganda, but you can see, and some of these things don't hide. And just from listening to your own experience, like, you can agree when these people testify about that. I am a Jose Chameleon fan. I remember when he was coming to our hometown back in Kavumba, he came to perform, and I went with my buddies and went to watch him like perform. And that's good that you talk about Jose like that and the entertainment industry and what he has done for it. Yeah, that's about Nomads.
So Nomad is one of the best bars in Kampala, to be honest. I don't think anybody who has come to Uganda, if it's for a short time or a long time or just a holiday, you have to pass through Nomad at some point. It's the home of entertainment, and they've established a lot over the last, has it been 7 years? Something like that. Of course, they're a bit out of town. They're on Gaba Road, so they don't get that same crowd that you get anywhere else. It's a mix of many people. You have the Kampala crowd, you have the Eritrean crowd, you have the Sudanese crowd, the Congolese crowd, those Manyonyo boys, Bunga boys. You know, it's a mix of flavors. And that's why I enjoy Nomad so much, because anybody that goes to Nomad will find comfortable. The service is great. They're clean. They're organized. The security team is on point. And on top of that, a mix of many African flavors. I'm not only talking about the females, of course. I'm talking about the music and the friendships.
Yeah.
So Nomad is really a hub for people that enjoy good entertainment and good friendship. So I've been working with them for over 2 years now. And I've worked with many other bars in Kampala. As a matter of fact, I don't think there is one bar in Kampala I haven't worked with. I have all of them on my list. Mm-hmm. Some of them were a success. Some nights were a flop. It happens. Entertainment is not easy.
Yeah.
I've had nights where we made 100 million plus, and we had nights where we didn't even hit 10 million. So you need to be ready for that. Yeah. And there is nothing embarrassing about that. As long as you keep trying in life and as long as you keep pushing, and no matter what, you know, sets you back, you push back and you try better next time, you are on the right track. You're on the right track. You need to believe in yourself and just keep on doing what you're good at. So I've worked with many bars in Kampala, but the one place that I can absolutely call my home and where people have full respect and trust in me is Nomad Bar and Grill. Opposite Bunga Shell. Be there or be nowhere. I'm here advertising.
And you say, talk about the every Wednesday.
Oh, so my night at Nomad, although I'm involved with many nights, I will promote every night at Nomad. It's, like I said, it's an amazing place. But the night that I personally host is called Black Bottle Wednesday. And it's every Wednesday night. At the moment, I'm working together with... We're going to switch DJs every few editions, but at the moment, I'm working together with the beautiful Etania and the beautiful DJ Vivian. Both of them are amazing DJs. I love them to bits. I've worked with V for a very long time. My God, I've known V for over 10 years. And then Etania, she's a bit newer to the scene, but she's been around in Kampala. She's worked in events. Then she went to DJing. Now she's on radio. I'm very proud of her as well. She has risen as a star. And she'll keep rising, with or without me. But for Wednesday nights, we are at Black Bottle Wednesday with DJ Etania and DJ V, DJ Big Allen and DJ Nate Urban and MC Top Boy. We have a billboard. Did you see my billboard?
I saw the billboard. I saw the billboard. I'll put it in here for the listeners. I'll put it up there.
Put a picture here. Editor. Put it here. Yeah. No, so that was my first billboard. I've put people on billboards for over 8 years, always making sure that everybody shines.
Yeah.
But then in the last year, I started feeling very good about myself. And I thought, Maxi, I think it's your time to shine. It's your time to be the superstar. So everything I'm doing now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. At some point, you have to think of yourself. I've always thought of other people. I've made a lot of people famous. I've advised a lot of people. I have paid for people's studio time. If I start name dropping right now, you can tag half of the industry. Yeah. But of course, we don't do that. but I've helped a yeah. lot of people reach their goal. And at some point I thought, okay, now maybe let me try this myself because I know I can do this. And now we're on billboards and on podcasts. Look at me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for having me once again.
On the Ugandan Boy Talk Show podcast.
Ugandan Boy Talk Show.
So the question I was going to ask you about your love life, but before I ask you about your love life,
my love life,
I'm going to read you a quote. This was one of a caption on your Instagram. I'll be honest, I don't have a girlfriend, but I know a few girls that are going to be mad at me for saying that.
So I remember posting that.
You tell us on Instagram, like, you know, have a girlfriend. Talk to us about your love life. I know that quote too. Why you posted
it? So the quote I made was, I don't have a girlfriend, but I know a few girls that will be mad about me saying that. And actually, after 2 minutes of posting that, I got in a lot of trouble. I had those few girls texting me. Uh-huh. Well, there's nothing much to explain. I'm a man, and I like Gyaldem. And I'm a very hungry man. But to simplify it is that after coming out of a serious relationship, I think every man goes through a process. First of all, you don't care and you go on a rampage and sleep with every girl that comes in your path. And then you get heartbroken and then you have a healing process. And then there is a moment where you are back to okay. Like it doesn't affect you anymore. And you're ready to find new love. And then you have guys who get over it and don't ever want to love again. They're like, you know what? If this is what love is, if this is what a relationship... Don't forget that back when our grandfathers wanted to meet a woman, they would go up to the woman. First of all, they talk to the mother. Can I take your daughter for soda or ice cream or whatever? And you would even give some money to the mother. Then you take the girl respectfully and you would get married and have children. That's how things went back in the day, respectfully and organized and at a certain rhythm. These days, my brother, I don't think relationships are something I want to get involved with anytime soon. We are dealing with a generation, or at least we are dealing with a generation that's influencing our generation too. I'm talking about the people around 30, 25 to 30 are being influenced heavily by the generation of, 18 to 25. Whatever they decide is pretty much law. You know, we should dress like this again. Okay, boom. This is the music we are listening to now. Okay, I guess so. Boys are allowed to dress like girls. Okay, we guess so. No, so we have no right to speak. So we are dealing with women that are being influenced by that generation where it is allowed to play around. To if you get married or not, it doesn't matter anymore. Marriage used to be something holy, something you know, till death separates us, you know, till the death. Nowadays, getting married is a trap. It's a trap for young men. It's a trap for men. Women get rewarded for divorcing you. 80% of divorces are instigated by women. I'm not saying that men are holy. Don't take me wrong. We are bastards, but we don't want divorces. We don't want to leave our homes. We don't want to leave our children. We don't want to leave the woman that we actually loved and married. But these days, it's very hard to find women that are interested in that package. Like, hey, I will marry you. I will settle you. I will provide and protect you. All I ask in return is some poom poom once a week and your loyalty. But these days, girls they can be loyal. And for a woman to understand that, oh, my man cheated on me. Okay, I believe that a lot of men cheat, but I also believe that a lot of men cheat because their woman or their wife or their girlfriend is not giving them what they want. It's not giving them the needs, you know? So men go and look for those things elsewhere. Not because we don't love you, it's just because we need more. We need more affection. And we don't get that always from our woman. So the other day I saw a meme where a guy said, I'd rather pay for a woman to come and clean my house and pay for a woman to spend one night with me than to be in a relationship with somebody that emotionally drains me and still gives me the same benefits. So men are scared these days to go into relationships because they know that they will get heartbroken and they'll be used. girls are out there looking for men.
Yeah.
They're half naked on Instagram. You're allowed to be half naked on Instagram. By all means. By all means, show us more. You want to show us, you show us. I have nothing against it. Nothing against it. But then also don't be surprised about the type of men you are attracting. When girls are out there in the club,
exactly.
When girls are out there in the club and they're twerking their booties, they're grinding and having fun. We love you. We love this. Honestly, as men, we can look at that and enjoy it. But I promise you, ladies, there is not one man that's looking at you and sees wife material. We are looking at you because we want to sample you. So if you're out there on Instagram, half naked, and you're out there in the clubs twerking for men, then don't be surprised that the men you're attracting are not the ones that are interested in your in marrying you. They're interested in being with you, buying you some new hair, and we have our way. You're also happy? Everybody happy? Okay, next. Let's continue. And that's the attitude that young men and young girls are having these days. Relationships are very hard to come by these days. People are just together for 1 month, 2 months, call it quits, and move on to the next. So I don't want to be part of that, especially coming from a very long relationship. I decided to be very single with very many options. And it's working out for me.
Yeah.
It's working out for me. I have time to focus on myself. I have time to focus on my mental health. I have time to focus on my recovery from my past emotional traumas. And at the same time, I'm getting all the poom-poom that I'm looking for. So it's okay. For me, I'm okay. I'm not saying that I don't advise young men to get married or to get in relationships. That's not what I'm saying. I'm advising young men to first love yourself and to respect yourself and to know who you are before you give your half of your life and your wallet and your time to somebody you don't even know. First love yourself before you love somebody else. That's a famous quote, but I've learned it the hard way. And the only thing I can say is enjoy life.
Yeah.
If you're a young man, don't focus on woman. Focus on your art. Focus on what you want to do. Perfect it. Become better at it. Make money. And then start thinking about marriage and relationships and girls and things like that. For now, just party at Nomad.
I don't think there's a way I can put that better. I think you've put it away, like elaborated it better for anybody who
Thank
is
you.
Listening to understand. Like
I like this podcast.
Yeah, I like to listen to you talk. And yeah. That right there, what you just said. If somebody has ears, they've listened and they've learned. And sometimes we share these stories from our own experience for somebody else who has not gone through it to avoid it. But if you listen to it and you don't take it, you might have to do the same thing somebody went through that they're trying to avoid you to say that. But I appreciate you saying that. And for all the young men out there and the women out there, for them to hear from this perspective.
Absolutely. Woman, I am not a woman, so I cannot speak for women.
Exactly.
Woman. You have your own opinions about men, but the only difference is we are not out in the street demonstrating against women. Mm-hmm. We know we need you. We agree. Yes, you give birth to us. Yes, you are our emotional strength. You are the person we rely on when we need support, mental and emotional. Yes, we agree to all of that.
Yeah,
we have. I don't think there is one man that has ever said, including Andrew Tate, he has never said woman.
Mm-hmm.
He has never said we don't need woman. No man has ever said that. Yeah. But there are a lot of women out there that are saying they don't need us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need no man. I make my own money. I drive my own car. Okay, I'm very happy and I'm proud of you ladies. And continue being independent and working hard. I promise you. There is a bigger group of women out there that are looking for men, that are looking for husbands, that are looking for fathers of their children and want to build a home and want to start a family. But they're being depressed and pushed away by social media that just want to influence the way we think about men today. Mm-hmm. We are the ones climbing up in the electricity poles to connect electricity. We are the ones driving the trucks to transport your food. We are the ones working in the mines to produce oil for your electricity so we can watch TV together. Mm-hmm. You also need us. So one thing I want to tell the woman, please, I love woman. You are God's gift. You are beautiful. We love you 100%, but stop demonstrating against men.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we need you, you need us. Yeah. So the faster we start working together, like our grandparents used to do. This generation is spoiled and they're confused. Let's go back to how we did it in the Bible. You are a man, I am a woman. And we work together 50-50. We love each other 50-50. Mm-hmm. And we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. As long as we love each other and trust each other. Mm-hmm. But it is very hard to speak like that these days. Because people will cancel you. Yeah, the cancel culture.
Cancel culture, yeah. Speaking of that, I've had a topic in the past episodes I've released about women asking for transport money. What is your view on that?
By the way, and I'm very happy that Spice Diana is the only female celebrity that actually jumped on top of that and said, ladies, you shouldn't. Out of everybody, I'm happy Spice Diana was the one that said, ladies, I don't agree with this. And I'll tell you why. Is a guy supposed to pay the bill after a first date? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%. If you ever go on a date with a guy, he asks you, hey, can I take you for a cup of coffee? Nice to meet you. Can I have your number? Can we go for coffee? Can I take you for ice cream? Then, and you take that woman for ice cream, you pay for the ice cream. There is no discussion there. But if we meet on Tinder or we meet in a bar and you want to come and me or you want to come and why should first send me money for Uber? Are you mad? What are we doing here? I don't even know you. We met last Friday in a bar. Let's meet somewhere and we'll figure out how it goes. If we like each other, yeah, I'll take you for dinner. But I'm not going to pay for somebody to come all the way and then you come along with like two friends, you know, and then those two friends want to drink JP Chanel as well, you know? So you keep on being used. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean with this generation. They have figured out a way to just drain us. Oh, send me 50K before I come. What the fuck are you talking about? That is not correct.
Yeah.
That is not correct. But like I said, a gentleman, a man, a young man, especially young man, elderly gentlemen, they're elders. They're allowed to demand things. Mm-hmm. But for young men, behave. Be a gentleman, open the door for your girlfriend, pay for the ice cream, pay for the coffee, drop her at home, back to her mama on time. And build a relationship. That's how you do it. That's the correct way. But if you are coming to Jiggy Jiggy, then you are you pay for your Uber.
That is good. That's a good take. And I like how you put it. Like, yeah, if we met on Tinder, met last night, why would I send you money? I don't even know you. Exactly how you put it. I don't want to repeat the words you already said, but I like how you put it.
To all the girls in my life at the moment, I love all of you. You're equally as important to me. I hope we can all be friends. Some woman might say that what I'm saying is wrong, but I promise you, I know girls that have 4 or 5 boyfriends. So why can't I have 4 or 5 girlfriends? Yeah.
Yeah.
One is paying for rent. One is paying for dinners. The other one is a side boy who sends you money from London once a month. So let us also hustle with our woman.
Now, you've said you've been in Uganda for over 20 years. You've seen everything that has happened in Uganda, everything. Now, but I want to switch gears to your political views. You've been in Uganda for a long time. What are your political views?
Do I have political views? Let me check my notes. Absolutely don't mention Bobby Wine. Okay. notes for my management.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I have political views, to be honest. I'm very happy with NRM in power. We're talking about Ugandan political or like generally or?
We're talking about Uganda generally.
Yeah, Uganda, I'm happy. I mean, we have Museveni, we have Muhoozi coming up. We all know that. I'm happy with NRM. We are safe. They gave me a Ugandan passport. I have nothing bad to say. Of course, everybody wants to see younger people in power. I understand that. A younger person, a person from our generation, is easier to communicate with, is easier to understand, is easier to, you know, it works better. But I think Museveni has done a good job. The strongest army in East Africa. We are very safe. Okay, the education and the healthcare system is still, you know, it's creating itself. It will become better over time. But I think we've done well. I think he has done well. Museveni is a good guy. Uh-huh. He has a sense of humor, which is also good.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Wine, I guess, is the second person you would talk about if you ask somebody a question about Ugandan politics. What is my opinion about Bobi Wine? He was my friend before he was a politician. So if I have to take that aspect away and give you my political opinion, yeah, he should continue fighting for his for what he believes and for his ideas. But he should not make it violent. He should not maybe push too hard. I'm very proud of what he has accomplished abroad. Mm-hmm. He's brought a lot of attention upon Ugandan politics. But as long as everything stays peaceful, as long as people don't die, I think it's becoming a bit too aggressive. So I would like it for things to go more, politer. Mm-hmm. Like in not to compare anything to Nairobi during Kenyan elections. Mm-hmm. My God, people get macheted mm-hmm. in the street. Yeah. If you see videos from Nairobi, mm-hmm. it's crazy. But also here in Kampala, and especially with elections coming up, I would just pray for both parties. Just be calm. Mm-hmm. Try to do the elections in a fair way without violence. And I think everybody would appreciate that more than just two people with two different colors shouting at each other. It's not the right way to do an election. And I guess that's my political opinion. There's nothing more to say about that.
I like how you said it. And I like how you said for both parties without abusing nobody, without saying anything.
Yeah.
You know, like I like that aspect because we need to respect people's opinion. Like, you're okay to support whoever you want to support.
Exactly, freedom of speech.
Yeah, you're okay to love whoever you...
Do I agree with everything that Bobi Wine says? No. Do I agree with everything that Museveni says? No, because we are different ages, different colors, different backgrounds. So you have different ideas. And everybody is allowed to have a political party mm-hmm. that promotes those ideas and speaks the truth about those ideas. But it doesn't mean everybody has to agree with each other. But it also doesn't mean that we have to start killing each other over it. You know? So Museveni is a cool guy. He's a good president. Bobi Wine is a good politician too. Let them just... Let's keep it calm. Yeah. I, the worst thing is when I see people being tear gassed, people being beaten. Mm-hmm. I don't want us to promote Uganda like that. The international media is looking at us during those elections are happening, and we don't want to show people that Uganda is a violent country exactly. because we are not.
No, I really like that. I like the way you put it. There's no best way to put the political view and the way you elaborated it with the things they've done. Yes, Museveni has done a lot of good things. Bobi Wine is fighting for a lot of good things. He has helped inspire a lot of young kids. I love him. I love Bobi Wine.
And bless them both.
Yeah, and bless them both. And hope they're all on the goal to help our country for the best. Earlier, when we were studying the podcast, you mentioned something. You mentioned the name Chizito. I want you to give me the story of the name Chizito. How did you get the name?
Yeah. So, and I told you in the beginning of the podcast, I told you that I'm giving you a big present today. Let me, because this is the big one. I've been in Uganda for 20 years, man. It's a long time. And I believe that everybody needs a certain persona or a certain ego that helps you push through whatever you're trying to accomplish. That's why we have created titles like doctor somebody or, a judge or, or professor or, you know. So those are titles you give people that have accomplished something. And because of that title, you respect them. You know, you don't speak back to somebody that has honorable on his business card, you know? Mm-hmm. You let that person talk and then you will take the conclusion after. So my name Chizito is like that. It is a way to make people understand that I do deserve respect. Mm-hmm. You do stand up when I walk into the room. You do shake my hand and you do let me finish when I'm talking. Because I'm not saying I am one of you. Yes, I'm a Ugandan. Yes, I am a citizen. So I'm a Ugandan citizen. I've been here for 20 years. I've helped a lot of people. I've advised a lot of people. So I needed a name that could reflect on that. And at the time, At the time, I was in a relationship with a girl. And her name is Audrey. Audrey Chizito. And I was 17 years old. I was 17 years old. And she was studying in Canada. She's Ugandan, but living in Toronto. Okay. I fell madly in love with her. I still am madly in love with her. I don't think we'll ever stop loving each other. So I went to visit her in Toronto, and the mother was also coming from Uganda. And we were together in Toronto, and we had to buy a bus ticket, and the mother paid for all of us a bus ticket, and she put it under the name Chizito. So all of our names, Audrey Chizito, Berta Chizito, you know, and then my name was Maxim Chizito. They just printed it out to have bus tickets. So I was looking at the ticket and I saw Maxim Chizito. I said, oh, that's actually really, I mean, it sounds good. MK, you know, Maxi Chizito. But I didn't really think of it as anything at that time. But it was an idea that got stuck in my head. And then by the time I decided to stay in Uganda and work for Chameleon, I told myself, I need something that protects me. I need an image or a name that protects me from being the stupid Muzungu, which I am not. Mm-hmm. I need a name that when people hear it, they want to know who the that is. And when they see me, they want to know who the I am. Mm-hmm. Like, who is this dude? How come he keeps on making, you know, things happen? Yeah. And I think the name Chizito reflected upon that. It's big, it's powerful, it's heavy. All the things I am. So by the time I had to pick a name to protect myself, I thought of the love of my life and the bus ticket that her mother bought me one day. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I think I'm going to run with that. Maxi Chizito. And it stuck. All the Boda drivers, all the everywhere, you know. Ah, Chizito! You know? So it's just a good one. Yeah. I liked it. I liked it. And it stuck. And it reminds me about you know, my first love.
Yeah,
a woman I'm very loyal to and very much respect.
But yeah, that's the, like you say, the name is heavy itself. Like even the meaning of the name, you know, like it's a big name. You know, like.
Do you know that radio stations have offered me money? I told you today I'm giving you a big present.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 years, radio stations and bloggers have offered me money to come and tell me this story.
Yeah.
And I have never opened up about it because I was in a relationship with somebody else and I didn't want to disrespect her name. And of course, this story talks about the only woman that I've ever truly loved, who is Audrey Chizito. And the fact that I chose that name, I guess the story is now yours.
I appreciate
that. And you can do whatever you want.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I really do appreciate that. And it's been a blessing.
No, because you're giving me the chance to actually explain it. Fully, like I said, this is the first time I've been on a podcast, and radio stations normally give you only 1 minute. Mm-hmm. You're giving me the time I need, so that's why I'm giving you that story. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story.
I love it,
and I will carry that name with proud. I'm proud to be a Ugandan. I'm proud to be in Uganda.
Yes, sir.
And I will always do everything I can to make this industry better.
Yes, sir. I got some more questions for you. What are your future plans now?
I think I'll move to South Africa soon. I want to go check out what's happening over there. I get a lot of requests to go to South Africa, so we'll probably do that.
We're gonna talk about like Africa Entertainment, the shows that I've been in Uganda. I've seen you with Conscience. I've seen Blankets and Wine, Ross and Rhymes, concerts that have happened. And if you can sum up that package all together and talk about that.
Entertainment in Africa is rapidly exploding. To be honest. You see, the Grammys have made a section for Best African Awards. You see that bigger stars are coming to Africa to perform. You see that African artists are reaching out to the world and in places I've never would imagine they would explode. Like, I know people in Ireland that are doing Amapiano parties. I know people in Korea that are booking Burna Boy. You know, so it's incredible how fast we have grown and how much African music and art and culture and fashion in general is spreading across the planet. And I'm happy about that because it's an industry I've been working in for a long time. It's an industry I love dearly. And anybody that's involved with that industry deserves a lot of respect. I'm talking about people like Don Jazzy in Nigeria. He has done an amazing job getting a team of artists together that are all successful, all reaching the goals that we all want for artists in general. I can also talk about, let's say, Alibai. Mm-hmm. Alibai here in Kampala, the Talent Africa team, is somebody I look up to a lot. His production value is amazing. He really looks at artists or shows that could make an impact on the city, the artists that people appreciate and respect. So I wish we have more people like that. And I really am looking at this new generation that's coming up, and I really hope that they find a way of perfecting what we have built. Mm-hmm. You know, the OGs, the generation before us, are the ones that started it. We're the ones that are perfecting it. But then the generation that's coming up really needs to make sure that whatever we have built, they use to make sure that the opportunities for African artists only keep expanding. Mm-hmm. We need a way for young artists, young painters, songwriters, poets, dancers, actors. The whole entertainment industry needs to boom. And we are booming, but I want even more mm-hmm. for this industry. Yeah. Kampala is known for the party capital of East Africa.
Monday to Monday,
24/7. And not to have a competition with my good friends in Nairobi or Kigali or Dar es Salaam. Your artists are amazing. Your entertainment is amazing. But Kampala beats you by far.
Yeah.
Our shows, we get numbers that Nairobi would dream of. Mm-hmm. When we do a show, look at Conscience. Look at you. Wait for Davido. On the end of this month, we're having Davido over. Shout out to Eastern Vibes and Adewole Martel. These guys are gonna make it happen. I know for sure that Davido is gonna have a massive impact here in Kampala. It will be an amazing show. He's an amazing artist. He's a Grammy winning artist. Mm-hmm. He had an amazing year of entertainment behind him. So I'm really proud that we're going to have Davido in Kampala live. And I look forward to what this year has to offer us. I know for sure I am working on some big projects. Unfortunately, I can't talk about those mm-hmm. yet. But I could blow your socks off right now if you know what's coming for Kampala. Mm-hmm. We are ready. We are a city that's growing. And entertainment will only get bigger.
You're in entertainment industry in Uganda. I'm going to ask you a question. I've seen it surrounding social media, but you never trust anything. But since you're the source, you're going to rectify this for all of us. I've seen people say that, is it Blankets and Wine that's been cancelled in Uganda? It's not going to happen anymore. Was it Blankets and Wine? Is that the show that they say it's the last one in Uganda?
So as far as I know, because I'm very close to the people at House of DJs, I don't know how much involvement they have with the legal side of things. But as far as I can see, Blankets and Wine will probably stay in Kampala. I don't know who's going to manage it. I don't know who's going to execute it. I don't know the court cases, or I don't even know if there is a court case. But I know for sure that it will stay because it's very profitable.
Yeah.
People, when something makes money, you don't give up on that. Mm-hmm. You don't just say, oh, okay, we've done how many editions? 18 editions or something? Mm-hmm. Blankets and Wine is really... or even more. So you don't just give up on that. So I pray that they stay, because Blankets and Wine is a very good concept. Mm-hmm. People seem to enjoy it. They're finally making the money that allows them to book the talent they've always wanted. They've done well. I remember one of the first editions, or was it the third edition or something, was Saudi Soul,
yeah.
which was amazing, you know. So they've always brought good talent. But now I think they've reached a level where they can do, you know, big things. Like Conscience. Conscience was amazing. Yeah. Conscience was an amazing show. I'm really happy that we are looking at Jamaican artists again. Okay, I'm proud of the Nigerian music industry, to be honest. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Don Jazzy and the way he has built a platform for Nigerian music to cross the planet. And Nigerian artists to perform in stadiums like... Madison Square Garden and the O2, and like that, we would have never imagined that 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So I'm proud of that. But at the same time, we've only had Nigerian artists in Kampala for the last five years, you know, which I'm happy. Their music is blowing up. But at the same time, when I saw Conscience performing, I'll pull up, girl.
Yeah.
Pull up. You know, it was like, wow. Mm-hmm. There is that, you know, that bad girl. Yeah. You know, it brings out something different than the Nigerian music does. So I hope that we don't only look at Nigerian and South African artists, mm-hmm. although they're the closest to us and we should help each other promote our music. Mm-hmm. But we should also bring different styles of music. Yeah. And of course, mostly go back to the Jamaican, mm-hmm. the Jamaican music, the reggae, the dancehall. It was so entertaining to see Kampala behave back on dancehall.
Mm-hmm. I was actually going to ask you, when are we getting Burna Boy? But you just talked about like how we only get Nigerian artists.
Burna? Let me be really honest. I don't think Burna will come anytime soon. He's overpricing. I don't know if that's his management that's doing it. But I have an issue with it, to be honest. And not just with Burna Boy. I reach out to artists at least 5 times a week. I reach out to different artists. Big ones, small ones, producers, megastars. If they reply, they reply. If they don't, they don't. I send emails. My team is always looking for what's new, what's next, who can we bring. Even if it's a one-hit miracle, we're always looking for new talent, new artists to bring over to Kampala. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a one-hit miracle person. We have brought over a lot of people that when they first became famous, they had a good song. It was all over TikTok and social media. We say, okay, fine. How much do you want? Okay, it's Kampala. You know, we know you're not a big city. You know, we know promoters in Kampala. We've done our research. We'll give you a prize of like $3,000, $4,000. And that works for us. You know, like, okay, I have to put down $10 million for somebody to come and sing one song in a club, make a bunch of people happy. We make money out of it. You reach out to all your fans in Kampala. You build a bigger fan base. Everybody wins. Mm-hmm. And then you have these artists that are like, I want $15,000. Yeah, we're not going to give you $50 million plus to come and sing one or two songs. How are we going to make our money back? Mm-hmm. How are we going to... It doesn't make sense on a scale... I wish that the African managers and the managers of Nigerian artists could say, okay, if we perform in London or if we go to Madrid or New York or Sydney, please charge the hell out of them. Because you're traveling a long way to a strange country, performing your music, you should be paid as much as possible. But when it comes to African cities, especially small cities like Juba, Kigali, you know, Nairobi, Kampala. Why are you hustling us?
Yeah.
We don't have $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 to pay you. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you have people like Burna Boy who's asking for $1 million. Okay, I understand that that's your worth. And I will never disagree that Burna Boy is worth $1 million performance. But who the f*** is going to pay for that in Kampala? Doesn't make any sense. So I beg African artists, when it comes to African cities, do your research, see what's possible, and then charge us accordingly. Mm-hmm. But don't be throwing big figures at our head. Like, what do you think? We print money in bars? You know, so
yeah.
To see Burna Boy perform in Kampala will be a tough one. Maybe if the management knows people here and they can have a personal mm-hmm. Deal. But if it comes to anybody booking Burna Boy in Kampala, I don't think so. It's too expensive.
Yeah. Moxie, I gotta say, like, we can talk for days and you have the best conversation in town. You didn't lie when you said you're gonna like just give me the whole conversation and just talk every day. But I'm gonna ask you, what are some of your top three songs of all time?
My top three songs. Okay, so I'll pick one for your intro, right? You'll edit a song into this. Mm-hmm. My music genres go all over the place, man. I'm like really into R&B and even trap music. I'm not saying that these young guys these days don't make good music. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of idiots and they're all high, way too high. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they're saying half of the time, but there is some good trap music out there. So R&B and trap, but if you're asking me about that, you know, Rick Ross, Drake, Stay Shining, you know, very good song. It's popping back on TikTok at the moment. Yeah. So I'm happy that this new generation is actually still listening to what we used to listen to when we were 15, 16. Mm-hmm. You know, back then, I'm talking about 2010, 2006 to 2012. Let's say those 6 years were extremely well for music. Yeah. Drake was popping, Rihanna was popping, T.I., Nelly, you know, Ludacris. We had a lot of good music. I'm from the 90s, so I know that these guys who were born in the 80s say that their generation was better. Yeah. I think that whoever grew up in the 2006, 2010 era knows the best music. Yeah. So I would say Rick Ross and Drake, any music there. I have to shout out to my Nigerian people, of course. At the moment, I listen a lot to Omale.
Yeah, Omale is good.
I see he's on a world tour, making a lot of boyfriends jealous. I don't know what the he's doing. I swear, if Omale pulls my on stage, goes behind the curtain, and then grinds with her, no. I'll climb on that stage and break his nose. But he's an amazing artist. I love him to bits. But please don't come to Kampala and be pulling those things on us, because I know some guys, they will climb on stage. Have you seen how he's taking women behind curtains?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw the clip of it.
But big shout out to Omale. Mm-hmm. The song, you know, Reasons. Reasons is fantastic. Yeah.
Give me three of your top songs in Uganda, just out of Uganda.
In Uganda at the moment? Mm-hmm. Oh, what's that song? Dax Vibes. What's that song with Dax Vibes? Is it Vinka and Dax Vibes?
Yeah, Believe.
I do believe in God. I do believe in Jah. Yeah, man, that is popping. So that's something that's hot at the moment. But I have to pick out a classic as well. I'll throw in some Peter Miles, probably some Peter Miles Frontline. Mm. You know, that's some good stuff. And then another one, my third one, quickly. I don't know. Chameleon?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Banana.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Maxi, I'm going to ask you two questions. What's been a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
Well, I mean, everybody lives a different life, right? So I don't know where you grew up. I don't know who's listening and who's watching this. And wherever you grew up and the struggles you've had and the disappointments you had and the pain you've had. You know, a lot of people grow up differently. My mummy, she owns an orphanage. She has an NGO. She saves kids. That's pretty much what she does. And extreme cases, child soldiers, prostitution, witchcraft, sacrifice, you know, all those really extreme cases where even police call her in the middle of the night. Hey, we found a baby wrapped in a cavera thrown on the street. Things like that. Really tough stories. I don't want to get too much into it because she's a very tough woman, but she always believed in love, right? So whenever she would save these kids, it's always about loving them, respecting them, showing them that life isn't that bad. But life, to be honest, is very tough. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me the lesson I've learned, I couldn't tell you, because I'm still learning every day. I'm turning 30 this year, which is a big step. I'm turning 30, the third level of life, the third floor. And I thought I had it all figured out back when I was in my early 20s. And I thought I have it figured out right now. But I bet if we do this podcast again 10 years from now, we would say that we didn't know anything. Yeah. So I by saying that, I want everybody that's listening to know that don't let anybody pressure you about what you know already or what you're about to learn, because nobody has figured it. I don't think anybody in the world has figured out life. Every day we learn new things and every day we improve ourselves. But if you just true to yourself, be honest, you know, and have a lot of fun. That's the most important. And the rest will figure itself out.
That's good. The other question is, what gets you excited about life?
Boom, boom. Woman. Beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And a bag of weed.
Okay. All right.
No, what gets me excited? What gets me excited? Live music, let's say that. When I see drummers, you know, and they're sweating because they've been drumming for like last 45 minutes. When I see saxophone players, when I see dancers, and when I see artists with the spotlight shining down on their face and they're singing their heart out, that's what gets me going, yeah. Man. I f***ing love live music. If somebody comes to Uganda to perform and you come with your USB stick, please, can you go back to your city? Because we only want live music. If you didn't take the time to find a band locally who can practice your songs and play with you, we've done all these things.
Yeah.
Even with Chameleon, the craziest thing I ever done with Chameleon was fly to perform in Kampala, fly to Nairobi and perform, and then fly to Dar es Salaam and perform in one night.
Wow.
We went three countries in one night. And there are times where, oh, we need to look for a drummer. Oh, we need to look for a photographer. There is always something happening in this industry. But the show must always go on. Mm-hmm. But live music is, I think, the most beautiful thing anybody can experience. A good show with an artist that you love and an artist which music you can sing word per word. And then you're seeing it performed by a live band is, yeah, the best feeling ever.
That's amazing. And then the final question, which is a signature question, but we've already talked about, you mentioned this earlier at the beginning that you can get anybody on the podcast, so we can do this a lot more time. But who would you like to see on this podcast next? And you're going to help me bring that person here.
Well, like I said, I've been in this industry over 12 years, so I can reach out to a lot of people. Yeah. But I would like you to invest time in first of all the upcoming crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't necessarily need to get people that are artists or singers, mm-hmm. but you can get a lot of people that are innovative and creative.
Fact. Yeah.
And then, of course, I would like you to focus on the OGs. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that really know what they're talking about. Like, if you want to do a fashion, if you want to do a fashion episode, yeah, then get A. Bryant. Yeah. You know, if you wanna do an episode about music production or things like that, look for the people that are really invested deeply and for a long time in this industry. And get them to talk. But definitely, if you ever need my help to get anybody on this podcast, yeah. I'll be there for you. I can make it happen.
I appreciate that, brother.
And for you people as well, I want people to comment and tell us, should I be doing more podcasts? Because it's the first time I'm talking on a podcast, but I'm feeling comfortable.
Yeah, I think
I might do this more.
I like it.
They should leave a comment.
Exactly.
And see if people like what I'm talking about. Yo, what's up, everybody? My name is Maxi Chizito. Today I'm at Dansoft Studios on the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. I'm really happy to be here. Please check it out and follow for more.
Yes, sir. Is there any other final word you want to say to the listeners, and we'll wrap this up?
You have a lot.
Yeah, I have a lot. Anyway, Maxi, thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, bro. All the best in the US. Let me know when you come back to Uganda. We go to Nomad. We party a bit. If you want me to come back on this podcast, please like and subscribe. This guy is the best. Thank you for representing Uganda out there.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll see each other soon. I know for sure. Maxi Chizito, sign out.
Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast, because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.